And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us here for the second hour together with Dennis Fetcho from Inside the Eye Live and Illuminati's Observer. We're having a very interesting discussion, of course, about the current times, about the situation in Russia, about the problems we're facing both in the West, but also in the Middle East and all around the world, really, as this is global issues and global problems that we're talking about. And we're going to go a little bit deeper into some of the things we kind of brushed upon briefly in the first hour here. And it has to do with the Noahidist law and some of these other things. I mean, I guess this kind of springboards off of the work that you've done on the Hermetic Kabbalah. You've talked about these kinds of issues for really a long time, Dennis. But tell us about this aspect to it and how you got onto this track and explain to us what Noahidist law actually is.
Okay, let's kind of like step way back before we get to there, because there's that, like, let's just lay some of the groundwork for people not familiar. When you look at Western esoteric traditions, what we really have is this system rooted in these Osirian / Isis or Issian, they call it. I call it Isisian mystery schools. And then you have the schools dedicated to Set, which is the Jewish God. So you've got always you've had these two movements in play. Now, you've heard about them if you read your Torah. And a lot of us in the West, you know, we're born up or raised in these Christian families, especially people my age. We're raised in these Christian families, and we know about this war by just reading the Torah. You know, if you look at like Isaiah 56 or something like that, or 65, it talks about, you know, those of you who bowed your head down to the God of good fortune and, you know, I'm going to chop all your heads off type of thing. That's part of this big war going on out there where you've got these two elites fighting each other over time. Now, my theory, and Henrik, you cover so much on Red Ice Radio. People know that things are not as they appear. Our history is adulterated. Everything about our history is basically false for the most part. It's all fabricated. So we know we can't trust what's going on. So then we have to really pull things apart and try to understand the Western esoteric traditions and those on the Sessian side. This gets at the higher levels known as Kabbalah. Kabbalah is like the elite schools out there. So you had, of course, Kabbalah, which is supposed to have come out around, let's say, 1000 AD. But really, Kabbalah existed all the way back into the Pythagorean times. This is where we saw the emphasis put on letters and numbers and sounds. And we read about the creation of words even further back in Democritus. So we've had a rich Kabbalistic tradition in the West, completely divorced from the Jewish traditions of the rabbis. The problem is that over the last 200, 300 years, this knowledge has been disappearing. You had groups like the OTO that would come up, and they tried to meld this English Hermetic Kabbalah into this Jewish Kabbalah. And so there's lots of confusion in today's generation as to really what was transpiring. But at the end of the day, the Kabbalahs, elements of the Kabbalahs are actually encoded into the languages. This means English has its own Kabbalistic sets and rules. It's pretty much dead now, but you had the Greek had its own sets and rules. The Jewish or the Hebrew has its own sets and rules. The runes, as you know, had its own sets and rules. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure through all the various other languages, they had their elite at one time who had their own quote-unquote sets and rules. I'm not an expert on those. I'm an expert on English.
So just to clarify, in this regard, the Kabbalah doesn't necessarily mean it's of Hebrew origin. This has been existence in many, many ancient cultures, correct?
That is correct. Even the Tree of Life we find in the Sumerian. Some of the tales we find spread out all over the world. I know for a fact, because I used to teach some people associated with a high-level martial arts group out of Indonesia. This group was actually the heads of this group were the bodyguards to the king of Saudi Arabia, and their martial arts was designed, the defensive moves and steps, it was actually designed around a code that I had put together. I didn't put it together. I deconstructed that I call the Philosopher's Stone. And the actual martial arts stepping patterns that they are taught are the exact same stepping patterns of the Isis, of the Isisian, or this, what do you call this? The Hermetic Stone, mm-hmm. or the Philosopher's Stone. So we know it's spread out all over the world. When we look at creation stories around the world, because there's lots of, as you know, there's creation stories everywhere. One of the creation stories that's very typical is this idea of this stone coming down from heaven. In Indonesia, for instance, they talk about the stone and the banana, and the creator, he says, hey, I'm going to give you a stone. And then the people say, hey, what am I going to do with the stone? I don't want the stone. Instead, they took the banana, and then they ate the banana, and then they're going to have children, and then they're going to die. Well, this is what we call part of what we call an achromatic cipher. And what an achromatic cipher is that these are ways the elite encode their system into various myths or mythologies. So in the case of the stone and the banana, this is just the Indonesian transposition of the Adam and Eve story. Hmm. So the Adam and Eve story, you know, she eats the apple, and then the Jehovah God, he casts them out, and he has the Garden of Eden is guarded by the flaming sword and the cherub.
Right.
Now, the key point about our Western systems is that it is melded onto, it's melded, it's fused to the Torah. So by understanding the Torah, we can actually gain the insights to our Kabbalah, the English Kabbalah. And this is where people get confused. Well, English hasn't been around that long. I don't care. If you want to believe in this massive omniscient deity, all things were created at the same time. So therefore, they will just manifest in various elements of time, but they're all created at the very same point and instance in time. That's one of the basics of Kabbalah. So therefore, my English Kabbalah is created at the exact same time as your Jewish Kabbalah. It's when it manifests at a point in time. But they were created at the same time. All things are created at the same time. That's the Kabbalistic idea.
Can't you view that in reverse as well, saying that the English language, when it was constructed, was actually constructed with this in mind?
And that's my thesis here, is that our English language here, guys, was actually constructed with all of these rules in mind. In order to reveal these various truths in the language. So we start again with this Philosopher's Stone. Now, looking back, what we have to do is, you know, there. If you go back to Plutarch, Plutarch is big. You need to know about Plutarch if you're going to really break down the way the Western esoteric traditions are working. There's two different translations. I always recommend you go and you read two or three translations to find what feels right. So, for instance, one translation out there about this, it says here, I'll just quote it real fast. For Isis is a Greek word, and so is Typhon, her enemy. For he is puffed up by want of knowledge and falsehood, and tears to pieces and puts out of sight the sacred word. Okay, that's one translation. Another translation reads, for Isis is a Greek word, and so also is Typhon, her enemy, who is conceited, as his name implies, because of his ignorance and self-deception. He tears to pieces and scatters to the winds the sacred writings. Well, those are two completely different translations from the exact same point in the text. One talks about the sacred word, just puts out of sight the sacred word. The other talks about tearing to pieces and scattering to the winds the sacred writings, which those of us, like myself, dedicated to the Isisian mystery schools, we work to pull all these writings together, deconstruct them, and then put them back into their original context. One of the very basic elements of this is this idea of a lost or hidden word. We've all heard about the lost word, the omnific word. Yep. I'm sure you have.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We've all heard about this in our Western traditions. Well, the person, the god who's supposed to give that word to Isis is called Hermes, however they want to say it, also known as Mercury. Okay.
Yep.
Well, as you know from the astro theologians out there, you know, like Santilli and others, they kind of like play in that space, right?
Right.
Mercury is Mercury the planet. Okay, no problem. We're aware of that. He goes, and he goes really fast through the heavens, really, really fast. Okay, therefore, he becomes the messenger of the gods because he's going so fast. He's going from point to point to point really fast. He still exists to this day in such things as mercantilism. His name is very famous, in other words. Mercantilism is just one, a merchant. This is invoking the god Mercury. Miercolis is invoking the god Mercury. So that name is very, very key. It's a very rich foundation name. And that's, I guess, a different story, but it's there. Now, Mercury, of course, is moving very, very fast. Now, what most people don't know is how many times it moves around the planet, right? Or around the sun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The time for Mercury is highly, highly exact. Let's see here. It says, I actually wrote about this years ago. But there is a cycle it takes where it goes through a major conjunction. That conjunction takes exactly 116 days. Actually, it's 115.9 days. Well, when you divide 365 by 116, Mercury completes the cycle every 3.14. There's 3.14 cycles per Earth year.
Interesting.
There's the pi thing that I keep teaching all over the place. Huh? Also, the ancients never looked at Mercury in a single year. They looked at it over a seven-year cycle. And the reason why they did that is because it takes Mercury 22 conjunctions over 7 years to return back to its original point on planet Earth, as it's relatively viewed from Earth. Well, again, 22 over 7 is 3.1428571, or a reciprocal 7 of pi. And I'm very specific about 3.1428571 because there are people out there teaching, if you call it that, this pi concept, but they don't even have a clue as to why you're carrying things out to seven digits. You must know about 1428571 because this astronomic or this number will appear like in certain megaliths in the Mayan system. So we want to make sure that you're armed with the knowledge so that you can start to deconstruct on your own. So for those who are interested, you can enter these mysteries and start to deconstruct. So we've got two different ways in which Mercury is encoding pi, because remember, Mercury gives the word to us, this sacred word. Well, guess what? That word so far is 3.14 years and 22 over 7, which is reciprocal 7 pi. Now when we look at the Kabbalistic construction of the words, okay, Kabbalistic constructions, there are three particular words that we need to know about the Greek system here, about relative to Hermes or Mercury. If we take again 22 over 7, okay, and we invert it. In other words, we take the fraction of 722 or pi now to minus 1, this number becomes 0.318. Why is 0.318 important? Is because it's used correlationally, which means the decimal floats. 318 was encoded as the word helios using the Greek gematria. This helios always reveals like a circle, 1,000. Where's my great key? I got the great key here. Really, I have it. Where's those words? Let me do a control F here.
Mm-hmm.
Magos, because magos is key here. Okay, magos, which is the wise man or the magician, it adds up to 314. Megas, which is M-E-G-A-S, equals great. Kleis, K-L-E-I-S, again, in the Greek gematria, equals key. Now, the wise man or the magician is Mercury. So the Mercury is the great key, or magos, megas, kleis, is 3.14159265, which is, again, what? Pi.
Right.
So now we've established a key point to the Illuminati system, which is a return of the great word, the omnific word. Now, this is important because you've got one sect over there called the rabbins. The rabbis, they're teaching this Noahide law based on their Kabbalah. Yet we have within our esoteric traditions the absolute deconstruction of the ancient omnific word, and we can show it in many dozens of ways. And actually probably in hundreds if we worked hard at it. For instance, if you take my name, Fetch, I Fetch, speak the words of the gods, and you put that into a gematria calculator, you know how much that equals? 314. Again, esoteric significance here. Because, you know, Henrik Fetch was not my original name.
Right.
Fetch is not my, I was adopted. I was given that name. Really, I was given that name.
Mm. Yeah.
You have to ask, was this Monarch? Was this CIA? Was this something? Was I programmed as a child and they knew what they were doing and they said, okay, this is how it works. We're going to put this person with this family and he's going to have the nickname of Fetch ever since. Right? We don't know how these people work. It's just, this is the mystical esoteric qualities of the language.
Mm-hmm.
Now, part of what we have to do is we must deconstruct everything. Well, we already can deconstruct like the Philosopher's Stone. There's something about Hermes. And Hermes is up there, and this is an article called Hermes, the Wisdom of the Egyptians. It came out like around 1928 by a guy by the name of Brian Brown. And it's about Hermes talking to Osiris. And he's supposed to be up there, and he's up there, and he talks to Osiris, and he says, hey, what did I just see? Hermes says, hey, I can now see clear. And Osiris says, well, it's because the word now is in thee. That would be pi. Now you, of course, have the word within yourself. You have everything. And then he gets dizzy and he starts to fall down. It says here, Hermes became heavier than a stone and fell through space like a meteorite. And then he talks about how his limbs seemed as heavy as iron. Well, that's the same type of text used in the hymn to Odin, where he talks about how dizzying he fell, and he grabbed the runes, and he grew in wisdom and knowledge. Again, what we're talking about here is shamanistic experiences, right. This hermetic side where we're pulling the information from the ether, from this shamanistic style journey where we're able to take the knowledge, not from this plane, but from a different plane, and then transmute it into words so people can begin to understand it.
Yep.
Now, when we look back at the ancient traditions, what is it about the Jewish tradition that always struck me was that they had an absolute hatred for anything about the quote-unquote the spoken word. They were at war. I don't know about where you grew up, Henrik, but where I grew up, the spoken word traditions like the tarot, palm reading, you know, this information is kind of like passed through families, etc., because it was dangerous to write down. This was vilified to such a degree that it was dangerous, even in my generation.
Hmm. Yeah.
You couldn't talk about it in the 70s. It was dangerous.
Yeah.
You could have your careers derailed if you were a teacher, just trying to talk about it. So there was always this hatred for the spoken word traditions. Then we have to, of course, start to deconstruct the various ancient texts. Well, we got the Epic of Gilgamesh. The Epic of Gilgamesh gives us an exceedingly rich story about the floods, you know, the great flood, Noah's flood.
Yeah.
And they're talking about, hey, there's this gathering of the gods after the flood comes around, and they're saying, hey, Enlil, you know, how dare you do such a thing? Cursed are you, Enlil. Well, Enlil is the Jewish god. So now in the Epic of Gilgamesh, we got lots of gods chastising the Jewish god. Now, from a rational point of view, why are we going to give credence to just the Jewish god?
Right.
Yeah. Why? Because this whole Noahide system is predicated on the idea that there was a great flood. And since only Noah could survive, this is Jewish thinking now. You talk about a bunch of kids. Children believing in fairy tales and acting on it go no further than the Jewish culture people, because they believe that, hey, well, because Noah survived the flood, well, all of these commandments had to be given to Noah. Hence, they become called the Noahide laws.
Yeah.
Wow. So now we're dealing really, when you think about it, with a childish mythology, people steeped in mythology. Remember, you were probably growing up, and if you believed in superstitions and mythologies, they probably thought you were probably childish, right?
Sure, yeah.
Grow up. Quit believing in all these childish mythologies. But you have a whole race of people, some of the wealthiest, most powerful people on this planet, and they believe in these fairy tales, and they just refuse to grow up. And they're dangerous. That's the problem. They're dangerous because this system is exceedingly, exceedingly racist. There's like 66 laws for Noahites, and there's like 613 for Jews. The Noahites are like what we call rectified goys. The rest of us are cattle because we're not Noahites yet.
Right.
We haven't converted to the point, oh, Mr. Jew, please let me serve you. How may I serve you? Why is this important on a political sense? Because when you hear like Ted Cruz, you heard about Ted Cruz getting booed off stage.
Yeah.
You heard about that. Why? Because he is absolutely 100% in service to the Jewish people. That is your Noahide. Relative to the Noahide law system, this global planetary thing that is looking to put Noahide laws into place. You've got your secret hidden Jews. You've got even the dumbest Jewish guy sitting there getting high on heroin in some place in India who's bailed out of life relative to the Noahide system. That person is infinitely more important than any of us listening today, unless you're Jewish. And we have an obligation relative to the way that the Jewish people think, and this is a global Jewish movement, folks. We have an obligation to serve that Jew however he demands.
So this is a religious, ideological conviction in terms of the status of the people who are in this regard elected to this or have this position, I guess by birth, really, right? That's what this is about. Can anybody enter into this by accepting the belief system, or how does that work?
Jewish, you have to be Jewish to be part of the elite, and then you can only become a good Noahide, which means that you're going to serve Jews. This would be like the Ted Cruz's, the John Kerry's. You know, when you look at the political system, all of these various quote unquote white sellouts, you know, you can call them white sellouts, right? They are what you call the Noahide. So they've kind of like entered into the system, but they're still below the Jews.
So this would be like the psionym of the Zionists, basically.
No, the psionym are actually Jewish people, just traitors. They're spying on behalf of the Israeli state. Okay. Psionym are actual Jewish spies, but they're working not as an official spy. So let's say I'm a banker and I'm Jewish and I come in as a non-Jewish guy and I deposit $100,000 and I want to buy this piece of property. And I have a good idea why I need to buy it. And the psionym will say, oh, there must be something up here. He calls his Tel Aviv handlers, his Jewish handlers, says, hey, such and such a non-Jew just put a $100,000 bet on this property. Well, let's see if it's worth anything. And maybe you're outbid by $5,000 because the psionym is working against you.
I see. Yeah.
You know, or maybe you go to the doctor and the Jewish doctor signed him and he determines together that this is what's ailing you. Hey, this is what's ailing this guy. Okay, well, if you use these type of non-invasive or non-lethal technologies like a microwave or some type of ultrasonic type of waveform on him, you're going to aggravate this case. Maybe the tumor is going to start to grow further and faster. This is how psionym will work on a practical level. In other words, they're working for ways to find ways to essentially advance what is good for Jews. And this is a global phenomenon. I mean, Jews are taught to think local but act global. Why else would you have the ADL talking about what's going on inside of Greece or Hungary?
Right, yeah.
Like, what's it your business, dude? Just shut the F up. Right? It's not your business. Just go raise your 200 million. But what are you talking about Polish or Hungarian or Czech or whatever politics were?
Right.
Why do you care about the Golden Dawn? Because, again, it's a global movement. It's a global conspiracy, essentially. Now, there are all kinds of rules out there, you know, and again, we don't want to talk about so much of the rules because, you know, it's basically a bunch of delusional people spending their life in their delusion, but they want to project it onto people. One of the basic tenets of Noahide law is that all Jews must work hand in hand to create this Noahide system, which is nothing but a Jewish top-down control system for planet Earth. That means they must establish laws that we must abide by. They can impose them on us. We don't have a choice. That's the way they think. It doesn't matter what we think. It's not about democracy. This is called Noahide law. This is Jews control the planet, guys.
Noahide law. Now, does this borrow also then from the Torah and the Talmud and other these texts? Or
sent from the Talmud.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, it's basically 100% from the Talmud. And so basically, what is the Talmud but a bunch of rabbis getting together to think they're important over the past, couple millennia? You know, I mean, some of the stuff you read in the Talmud, just like, you guys are insane. You're insane, you know? I mean, they're spending 20 pages on what type of sexual relations you can have. You cannot have sex with the mother of your daughter. The mother of your father, you know, whatever, you know, they're out there. You know what I mean? But what, you guys got to come up and spend 20 pages talking about this? Are you guys that stupid? But they're that delusional. This is the problem. And they're very, very powerful people. And that's the big problem. They are exceedingly powerful. Let me give you a breakdown of just how big this movement is on a planetary scale from an organizational structure, okay? From organization. As of 2007, there were 3,300 Chabad institutions around the world. As of 2006, there were Chabad centers in 75 countries. Others are listing something like an additional 1,350 Chabad institutions. That would include like schools, Chabad affiliate establishments, etc. In total, according to its directory, Chabad maintains a presence in 950 cities, 178 of those in Europe, 14 in Africa, 200 in Israel, 400 in North America, and 38 in South America, and another 70 excluding Israel, but including Russia in Asia. Can you imagine? That is the organizational structure. Now, from a political point of view, it's estimated that Chabad reaches about 8 million Jews worldwide. It's exceedingly powerful. I remember in LA every year you had the Chabad telethon. Posters everywhere. Everywhere. Now, from a political point of view, what's happening is that the elite on a voting structure, they're tapping into this as a democratic element because it's very difficult to reach 2,000, 3,000 people or million, I should say, in one shot. And within that, there's a huge amount of billionaires within the system. So there's a huge incentive to tap into Chabad because A, you've got the financing, you got the billionaires who can finance everything. B, you've got the numbers. You can reach a lot of people with just one phone call, essentially. Get the rabbi to say, hey, this is who you vote. Now, all of a sudden, you've got what? 400 here, 700 there. All of a sudden, you got 30, 40, 100,000 votes.
Yeah, interesting.
This is the same technique that was being used in Turkey by Erdogan. Erdogan tapped into what was called the Gulen movement.
Yeah,
which
that's right.
Kind of like the Chabad of Islam.
Oh, so just to clarify that point as well, in the West, of course, we've been encouraged in terms of the separation of church and state that politics shouldn't go together with, religious ideology and whatnot. But this is not the case here, both when it comes to Islam, but also what we're talking about here with the Noahides and all these movements. This is something which is based in a religious concept, but it's overlapping into politics in order, they're using politics in order to fulfill their religious objectives and goals, correct?
That is correct. They are using politics to fulfill their religious goals. And in many things, these religious goals really have nothing to do with religion. It is basically trying to put a religious spell on a totalitarian system.
Yeah.
You know, you got to let people feel good about what they're doing. They got to feel motivated. Oh, this is a higher calling. They have to work hard. So what do? You put a religious spin on it.
So what's their view of other people and cultures and religions and whatnot? I remember hearing a while back, we linked up a video by Gag talking about, you know, the view in terms of what Israel has and what they have, and even in terms of the military arsenal and how this is viewed, I guess, from the rabbinical you know, community, and in terms of what they, how they see that this, you know, God have given them, you know, the land now, they have, you know, weaponry and everything else. And he was talking about how this was basically a, you know, fulfillment of certain of these things that were to be kind of granted to them. But from this point, they would, you know, kind of take following steps and procedures due to this. And he explained, I might not put too much validity in him, but he had a very interesting topic. I forget his name now, I can link it up. But he mentioned how, especially the view of Christians, I mean, let's not even talk about so-called pagans, right? But that Christians was a huge issue and problem, and there was this kind of vengeance in the works towards Christianity behind some of these movements as well. What have you heard about this?
Yeah, absolutely right. These people hate Christians. They see Christians as one of the most vile people on planet Earth, to say the least. And you can see this throughout all of their much of their writing, quite frankly. They believe that Christians are idolaters. They don't worship their God, so consequently, they're subject to being liquidated. And the interesting thing about Noahidism is that when they kill you, which is some of the stuff is just stupid. You have to read it to understand how barbaric and archaic and backwards these people really are. The way that they want to kill you is through beheading. So you see all of this beheading going on. It's like, you know what? This is like Noahidism, guys. This is all straight out of Jewish Noahidism, because that's what Noahidism calls for. If you just don't like what they're doing, you kill them by cutting their heads off. That's called Noahidism. And that's called for directly out of their Talmud. I mean, get this. I mean, imagine if you change the words from Jew to non-Jew, right? Get this. This is a general tenet. The Tikkun. And by the way, guys, my work has been taken into, I know, the Noahidist systems. I've got people in Hollywood that have been blacklisted because they studied under me. Because our Kabbalahs are in opposition. We're diametrically opposed to each other. Our hermetic systems are all about creating life, creating growth, creating wealth, creating things better for the community. This is all about destroying the wealth for everybody but the Jewish people. Now get this. Just imagine if you and I put this out as a religious system, okay? A non-Jew cannot be a righteous Gentile if in his heart he feels no affinity for God's people. Now imagine if we put this, a Jew cannot be a righteous Jew if in his heart he feels no affinity for us non-Jews.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How would we be viewed if we put that out?
That's what I always like to do. I like to remind people about that, to discover these double standards, just reverse the, you know, the people involved or whatever, you know, and you soon realize what's going on, you know?
If a non-Jew hates Jews to the extent that he has sworn to destroy them, that means you don't, who knows what that means, right? The Torah considers him part of the nation of Amalek, the arch enemy of Israel, whom the Jewish people are commanded to annihilate. Again, change that. If a Jew hates non-Jews to the extent that he has sworn to destroy them, our system considers him part of the nation of Jehovah, the arch enemy of all the rest of us, whom all of us are now commanded to annihilate. See, again, they are putting out a system there that absolutely makes them the enemy of humankind. And they're just expecting us to just lay down and say, okay, rule over us, tell us what to do, and we're just going to do nothing about it. But that's why you're seeing, Henrik, like you see in Sweden, you're seeing all these laws that are designed to prevent you from even starting to talk.
Yeah.
Because they know. Like all totalitarian systems know, once the truth starts to get vocalized, their lies fall apart almost within a very brief part of a generation.
Now, let me ask you before we proceed there, are these not also some of the, I mean, when you hear some of the names of the people and the, I guess, tribes is a better term, that are addressed as, you know, arch enemies, or like, you know, smite thine enemy, or like exterminate these, or, you know, genocide those people, you know, that kind of language. Isn't that kind of from an outdated, I mean, are these not around anymore, or has there been a kind of modern interpretation of this? So, for example, as you said, the Amaleks or the Meritites or whatever, they are like, they're being projected upon people that are alive today in different ethnic groups.
They're just projecting, yeah, like you and I, because we don't absolutely, because we're supposed to know better. See, we're smart people, and we don't absolutely bow down to their system. I mean, if you cross, like in Syria, with a Noahide, they would not for a second hesitate to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
Because in their mind, because again, we're dealing with some really dangerous, irrational, barbaric, pre-medieval thinking here. You know, this is what our Western Enlightenment tried to put under the box, you know, put it in a box and seal it.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this 9/11 OTO Noahide garbage is now unleashing it again. And this is the danger we face in the West. All of this, all of the Enlightenment period where we put all of this barbarism in a box, it's starting to make its way back into our mainstream culture.
Yeah, and it is.
It is.
Yeah.
And who's behind it? The Noahidists who are running Hollywood. Because it's not just Hollywood, guys. It's much of this is the Noahidists. Remember Madonna. She spent like $10 million to go to some Kabbalah sect, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't just a Kabbalah sect, guys. It was the Noahidist sect. Okay?
So they're kind of proselytizing and dragging influential people into this as well.
Yeah, and if I'm Madonna, okay, and I don't even believe it, right? Okay, $10 million, and I'm rich, right? And the people I'm giving the money to are backing all the elites of Hollywood. How much advertising am I going to buy for $10 million? Think about it.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy a crap load.
Quite a bit, yeah.
Yes, and I'm going to get all the goodwill, and I'm going to get for 5-7 years, hey, that's a cheap investment maybe.
Yeah, it's good returns on that money, you know.
Yes, yeah, and so people think, "Wow, she get that." Guys, come on, it's prepaid advertising. Grow up, grow up. This is the real world. She's just paying for advertising, and everyone's like, "Oh, come on, no, really." So there's this whole thing. Really, the Noahide law, it was actually passed into U.S. law in 1993. Did you know that?
Tell us about that.
This came out. It's called Education Day, March 26, actually 1991, Education Day. And it says here, like, whereas Congress recognizes the historical tradition of ethical values and principles, which are the basis of civilized society and upon which our great nation was founded, and whereas these ethical values and principles have been the bedrock of society from the dawn of civilization when they were known as the seven Noahide laws.
Really? Huh.
And that was signed in, and now and it's interesting about Education Day, because it's like the whole point to the Noahide system is that Jews are pretty much commanded to educate us about how we must all bow down to the Noahide laws. That's kind of like the whole, in a nutshell, I'm oversimplifying this only for the audience here, because once you go do your research, you're just going to be probably like me, disgusted.
So that. Just to read here, the 1991 bill described the Noahide laws as the, quote, ethical values and principles which are the basis of civilized society and upon which our great nation, United States, was founded, unquote. Interesting.
Yes. And it's like, but guys, this is a fairy tale. Because you already know from the Epic of Gilgamesh that the Jewish version is just a crockpot piece of literature. Yet here you're trying to make all Western civilization based upon a fairy tale written in some mind of some Jewish guy 1,600 years ago. Huh. And if they're going to base our Western society on that, what an absolute frigging insult to all of us who are part of reason in the West. Because that's an insult. Who are you guys to actually come to us and tell us that somehow our Western esoteric traditions are anywhere near rooted in the barbarism of Judaism? Go to Palestine. Just understand what Jews have done to Palestine.
Sure, yeah.
Understand barbarism of Judaism, guys. Yeah. This is Judaic culture manifested, and look what we get. Perpetual war, perpetual death, an absolute militarized state, a delusional population. Who wants any part of this as we move forward in the 21st to 22nd century?
Tell us more about the seven laws that are listed then, and how these contradict to, you know, the application that we're seeing, because
it's all basic stuff, you know. Let me pull them up here. First, they call it universal morality. And this is coming off the Kabbad website. There's lots of different websites out there, of course, you can pull this from. They're talking, going about the Talmud, 70 families. And again, it depends on the translation. You have to go get a lot of different translations to really understand the nature of it. Like Kabbad, they kind of simplify it. They don't really tell you how just diabolical this really is, but their second law, respect the creator. As frustrated and angry as you may be, do not vent it. Again, that is not the law. See, Kabbad is trying to hide reality here because they're giving their own commentary. I don't want to hear your commentary, dude. Give me the law. See what I mean? I don't want your commentary. What, I don't need you to teach me. I can read my English. Believe me, just give me the law. So Kabbad, for instance, if you go to the Kabbad site, you're not getting really what's going on here. Respect, like law number 5, respect the rights and properties of others. Well, no, the law says don't steal. Don't steal. Well, yeah. What, this is supposed to be a big, big enlightened thing from
Revelation. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Wow, you guys, come on, give us a break. What do you think? This is a huge universe. And here's the interesting thing about the 7 Noahide laws. You've got respect for God's creatures. Like, don't eat a live animal. Don't bite into an animal while it's still alive. Huh? Really, huh? I mean, come on. And these are supposed to be enlightened people, and they get all the power with, they're locked into the power structures of this planet. And yet, one of their basic laws is don't eat an animal while it's still alive.
Right, yeah.
Okay, I guess the only people I know who might do that are Eskimos, where they'll take a fish out of the water and they'll start to eat it while it's still alive.
Right, yeah. So they're out, so let's pick them off. Yeah, okay,
that's take care of the Inuit. I do know that in China, you've got some pretty barbaric eating habits. Okay, that'll take that out. So yeah, it's barbaric. Let me find something that's actually really good for you, because there's so much interesting stuff about this. tell you, I had it all ready to go before the show too, believe it or not. Mm-hmm, but like how we just click from window to window to window.
Oh yeah.
But like number one, like don't kill. I mean, duh.
Well, that's usually what it is, right? It's a lot of these kind of no shit kind of things going on here, you know. But what I find interesting here, of course, is, for example, one of them is the prohibition of sexual immorality. I don't see that we're seeing that in the world today, you know. So there are contradictions here. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Here's another interesting thing about that one, because if you look at Hollywood, we're going to have to behead virtually all of Jewish culture. Okay, but the Jews have a response for this. Because there's a whole segment within their philosophic, because again, these are just a bunch of rabbis just blabbering back and forth with each other, thinking they're important on the global stage at the end of let's just call it the larger human, you know what I mean? Not just the planet Earth, but I'm talking about the universe at large. I mean, these guys are just huge, huge. You got to see the latest movie. But they're talking about how this rabbi says, well, Jews are supposed to abide by the laws. And this rabbi's arguing, oh, no, Jews don't have to abide by the laws. And they've got a whole, you get a headache reading up on just how one side says Jews are supposed to abide by the laws and other Jews aren't supposed to abide by them. So they don't even agree whether Jews have to abide by it, but you darn well better abide by it. Now, if this doesn't sound like this new world order, command, top-down command structure tyranny, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
This is what it is. This is top down. This is nothing short of this new world order command tyranny, top down tyranny. and with Jews at the top, which, and let's be honest, guys, Jews were massively complicit in 9/11, but we can't touch them because part of their system is they are not bound by the same rules that we are. So while they can go torture Masui and pretend like he's the mastermind, yeah, right, guys, what a stupid insult that was. If I'm part of U.S. intelligence, I'm embarrassed, okay? I'm embarrassed. This is the best we can do. We spend $44 billion in intelligence. The best I can do is torture Masui and say, oh, I'm the mastermind. It looks like he's had his head fried with microwaves. See, this whole system really is all about Jews can do what they want, but we cannot, we can never go after them with the court of law because they're not subject to our courts, only their courts. We're subject to their courts, but they're not subject to our courts. In fact, under this the Noahide system, us poor goys, we are supposed to create court systems that integrate Noahide law into the systems. So when you see a lot of these laws being passed, really, these real, I'm talking about real structured laws inside of your political system, you should start to be aware of just the Noahide angle and say, hey, is this part of this globalized strategy of top-down tyranny?
Yeah. Interesting.
Because you see so many of these laws were, again, in a Noahide system, you can't even criticize a Jew. This is against the law. See, because it's not just the seven laws, but then they create a whole bunch of regulations under the laws.
Yeah, so that was, again, go back to Palestine, and that situation would be tremendously beneficial there if this is actually something, I mean, it sounds insane, of course, but if this was something to be put in the legal framework of, you know, around the globe, basically, that would be, give them a blank kind of ability here to do whatever they want. And maybe that's why we're seeing the continuation of the terror against the Palestinians with no kind of bigger reaction, really, from the rest of the world, you know?
Oh, and the interesting point is that the Noahide Kabbad movement is the movement behind the Israeli settler movement.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. This is the group that is behind it. I remember talking to an Israeli years ago. And I said, you know, this Kabbad Lubavitch, most likely they're the ones behind 9/11. They're people, you know, like Pearl, Wolfowitz, and all of these people, the rectified goys like Bush and Cheney and some of these others, they're behind this. I said, well, they're the most radical, insane people within all of Jewish society. I said, yeah, but they're the ones controlling America. He said, well, you know, if that's the case, then this world's in for a very dark ride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that's I think this woman was telling the truth because we've seen the world being we've been plunged into a very dark ride the last 12 years, and it's not getting better.
No, I agree. You know, hey, by the way, another side note here, but I obviously thought it was interesting with the themes of Noah and all that stuff from where this comes from in terms of the survival of the flood myth and all that, but the rainbow symbol and the rainbow flag overall, right? That according to the Bible, you know, God first created the rainbow as a sign to Noah that, you know, it would never again be a worldwide flood. But yeah, we definitely have seen the use of the rainbow flag and in a lot of settings lately. That is interesting.
Yes, the symbols it is. And there's lots of people out there that do symbol work. You know what I mean? And I'm sure you've had some of them on your show. It is interesting. I like to read some of the stuff about the symbols in Hollywood, but at the same time, I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
Because I like dealing with the geopolitics. So we need to make change.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. It's all good. It's all good and well looking for, you know, for the pyramid in the and the eye behind the character there in a few millisecond shot, and that's all well and good. But aren't they missing the main propaganda that's right in their face, which is the content of the actual movie, as opposed to just the symbols that appear in it? There's like a whole deconstruction and erosion of the Western world occurring within the subversive messages of our pop culture. That would be the primary motive, I would think. But of course, people are free to focus and look at what they want.
What is it? Voltaire, he said, you know, to know who, what's that phrase? To know.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you're not allowed to criticize.
Yes, that is probably one of the most brilliant, simple statements out there. Yep. I've got these seven laws, by the way. Do not deny God, whatever that might be. Do not blaspheme God. Do not murder. Do not engage in incestuous, adulterous, or homosexual relationships. Well, that's going to wipe out all of Hollywood, isn't it? Do not steal. Do not eat a live animal. Oh, yeah, I've always had a desire to do that. And of course, really the key here is number seven, establish courts, legal systems to ensure law obedience. Again, the whole thing is about putting down a top-down tyranny system with basically Jews at the head. And I know that sounds like an oversimplification, but really look into these laws and you'll find that all, that's right, all Jews are commanded essentially to create the conditions for this, because they believe that once this global system of tyranny is in place, that's when their God's going to come down. That's when the Moshiach happens.
Yeah. So people are, for example, very happy to talk about the insanity of, you know, Christians and the rapture and all this kind of stuff, or let's say even like, you know, Sharia law or whatnot. But here's another, yet another example of the Abrahamic religions and the insanity of the way that they're trying to impose their belief system upon others. And really at the root of it, then, a very racist system that places one group above everyone else, and it's their right to dictate to them because they're, what, like a lower animal or something like that, you know?
Yes. You know, let me give you some hermetic Kabbalistic plays. You know, we talked about puns in the language. They kind of like hint at the insanity of Jewish thinking. Okay? There's the idea in the Sefer Yetzirah of words going left to right and right to left. And we can see that in the languages. English goes from left to right, and the Hebrew Arabic goes from right to left. Okay? Well, if it's going like right to left or left to right, it's supposed to be like live is good, evil reversed is bad, right?
Yep.
Okay, let's say that this system has its merit in some ways in construction of words. Well, welcome in Arabic is marhaba, welcome. Marhaba, which is eerily very close to the reverse Abraham, which would mean not welcome. Not welcome. They talk about Ain being the primal one, the very first. Yet the past tense of Ain is ain't. These are just some of the puns in the words. I actually had more that I wanted to bring up, but that one kind of like took my brain away. But there's lots of just different puns about this. You know, when you look out into the system, if you're willing to look, I'm sorry, I don't have one or two more for you.
Oh, that's okay. So this manifests itself in English in different ways as a kind of a clear message, really, about what is going on, which of course is very very interesting. And this might be to a certain extent very very intentional, or to a certain extent it might be just kind of part of the metaphysical overlay of things of how it kind of plays out, I guess.
Like monotheism. Well, has anybody ever stopped to think what the is? Because if it's mono the, what is the? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. Because if you're saying, because here I'm looking from J law, Jewish law, monotheism and fundamentals of Jewish law. Jewish law presupposes that there is just one God and that such a deity is the sole God in the heavens and the earth. Okay, fine. But what's monotheism? What is the? What is the? Well, the is an obvious code if you have the code system in play. T is located at 4. The sum of 1 to 4 is 10. H is located at 8. It's a compound sound. 8, the sum of 1 to 8 is 36. 10 times 36 is 360 plus 5 is 365 days a year. So the is talking about the sun. So now, what exactly are you Jews talking about? I don't know. Well, don't tell me about monotheism. What? Now, give me a word that works. Because what you're telling me is that there's only one sun in the sky. Yeah, we know that. Go. You know, just go. We know that God has a value of 7 plus 15 plus 4, which is 26 weeks. We know that that is the correlational diameter in time of, let's say, winter solstice to summer solstice, spring equinox. We're now in the fall equinox. Today is as we're recording, right?
Yeah, that's, is it?
Yeah, today actually. Yeah, 26 weeks. Oh, so there's 26 weeks. We know that death then must be the correlational diameter because, again, we're dealing with a pi system. if you really want to get to the truth of the matter relative to the construct or the construct of humanity, you must understand why. Why is a question? It's also a letter, the 25th letter of the alphabet. And we know that the golden triangle is 3 squared plus 4 squared equals 5 squared, which is I plus P equals Y, which is pi. Understand why. Remember the matrix. The only point is to understand why. Well, why is a letter and a question? Understand how it's constructed, how it works. The I, you know, think about that, V, right? When you make a Y, you got a V and a 1,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the 1 is Adam. This is the male. The V is Eve. Just V backwards is Eve, Adam and Eve.
Mm.
This is seen at the Temple of Sukkot in Indonesia. Very clear within the ancient system, because we know the ancient systems, they kept this system in play. What has monotheism in the Jewish format done to humanity? Yeah. Everywhere it goes, it destroys the evidence.
Yeah.
Everywhere it goes, its sole purpose is destroy the evidence of our past to leave only their system in play in the future.
Yeah. And my God, haven't we seen that, huh? God, in terms of its expansion and I would... I would include Christianity in that, and all the Abrahamic religions, really, in the way that they've expanded. And you know, I certainly know that from the Nordic perspective, and the way that was imposed on us, and the people who represented the old ways were dealt with ferociously. You know,
exactly. Yeah, Christianity was certainly far more beneficial than raw Talmudism, raw Judaism. But it's still tainted with the wolf, as we say. I like to look at the tale of like the three pigs, remember?
Mm-hmm.
You had the first pig, he builds a house of straw and it's blown down. This is like the kingdom of Egypt. And then you have the second one, he builds it out of a wood. Wood we can equate to a table and the tablets. This is blown down. And then the third wolf, or the third pig, he builds it out of stone. Well, brick. Jesus was known to be like the brick. He worshipped a brick. This is an old tale from the like 300 AD. So this is about Jesus. This philosophy is about Jesus. The wolf, meaning this Jehovah character, he goes down the chimney and the pig devours it, which means he now partakes some of the elements of Judaism. So Christianity is unfortunately a toxic blend of the good Osirian schools, which it originally was founded on, and the Judaism, which absolutely corrupts it.
So let me ask you this. If this is a religious, you know, kind of delusional concept, which, despite if people themselves believe in this or not, could pose obviously a tangible, real threat if there's indeed powerful people with influence behind it that have resources and money and everything else that are convinced in the application of these laws. But the bigger question here, of course, is what is the way out of that? How do we fight such a thing?
Obviously, awareness is the first step. And then once you have awareness, in my opinion, the brain, you know, the mass of society will come up with the solutions acceptable to the society. You know, my solution would be to shut down all of the organized schools. The same thing they did to the Gulen movement in Turkey. This poses an existential threat to Western civilization. Shut down the schools. Shut down the entire movement. Nationalize its assets. Anybody that is involved in the political system should be rooted out, purged, because obviously they're working in the political system for one reason, to advance the Noahida system.
Hold that thought. I just want to mention that as well. But see, then, I mean, it's an existential threat to the West, just as you said, to reemphasize that. But see, then people reacted in this way. Well, see, then it's fascism, then it's tyranny, then it's authoritarianism. If we tell other people what to do and what to live, we're kind of in that political sphere and environment where it's your let me just finish that point. And then they say, well, you know, they tote human rights and they say all these kinds of things and they say, it's my right to be a subversive and corrosive force in society. I think that the West in particular has not learned to, we did it before, but we haven't learned to defend ourselves against these kinds of things. And people run right away to the idea that it doesn't have the right to defend itself. It's a very, I think that that's been imposed on us on a political, ideological basis as well, so that we can't put up a fight against these kinds of things.
Yeah, well, you've called it. We're programmed to not put up a fight. But then again, they're saying it's okay for us to impose our tyranny upon you.
Exactly, of course.
They're saying this is okay, and you must accept that. Well, then, okay, we accept that. Now it's also then you must accept it's okay for us, since you don't believe in our system of just letting people be themselves and developing spiritually, then it's up to all of these people to impose their tyranny upon you. I mean, it's a two-way street. If you want to impose your tyranny on this group of people, that group of people has every right to impose their tyranny upon you.
Yeah, to respond, to defend themselves against this. I guess the only problem here is that people don't realize that this is posing a threat to them, you know?
Well, that's it. And most people, as you know, they're watching TV, they're watching the latest show, they're not aware that there's an organized religious Talmudic system working against their interest every second of every day.
Yeah.
And it is no joke. You've got Sanhedrin courts. They've already established their Sanhedrin courts. So to them, boy, they're making huge progress here.
Yeah.
They've got Education Day already enshrined into law. They're working hard every day to bring about what can only be described as Talmudic tyranny.
Jeez. Yeah, it's that's insane. Where are all the atheists now, you know, speaking out against this? It's like, it's funny, huh? The scientific, rationally minded people of the West, you know, but again, they haven't realized that this is an agenda, because it's to a certain extent hidden and secret to most people, because they don't look deep enough, basically.
Yeah, and the problem is the agenda is hidden inside of a veneer of Jewish mysticism. And that mysticism is protected by people's fear of being called an anti-Semite.
Absolutely. Yeah, of course.
So there's this big like mesmer spell that's protecting this in this bubble right now. And although we can hit it, we can't crack it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We maybe put a spark against it, you know, and agitate them. Certainly you've agitated some people because you've been banned from certain sites and they've done what they can now to control, you know, put their tyranny on you. You know what I mean? Yeah, if it's everything's fair, why are you being blackballed in certain areas?
Mm-hmm.
Am I being blackballed in certain, you know? Again, so this idea of, oh, human rights, well, give me, come on, blow it out of you. You know what, dude? Because you don't play by these rules either.
Well, that's what I think people fail to realize, that there's a reason why certain movements in the history of the world has come about, because they needed to be, yes, it was harsh, yes, it was, you know, not the best conditions for everybody, but at some point, you need structure and order, you need defense in place, otherwise everything will just fall apart and crumble, you know?
Look at your country. It's a very small country. It was always considered, at least to those of us who are Western, to be filled with beautiful, kind, warm people. Now, what do you have?
Yeah, it's all backwards.
Allowed to even defend yourselves.
Yeah.
They are creating laws that prevent you even from defending yourself. I tell you what, if I'm a nationalist and I'm young and I'm a nationalist, whoever wrote those laws, they're on a list, buddy.
Yeah.
They are on a list, and they are not going to like what comes when the political tide changes. Who are you to sell our country out?
Yeah, these are traitors of the highest order, you know?
The highest order, and they should be called out for that.
Yeah, I agree.
Stop panic, you know, cowering that, you know, because they're going to do what they're going to do to you anyway. So you might as well get up and fight.
Yeah.
Look what they did to you. Right? They took away a certain market. It didn't matter whether you, if sure, you could have stayed talking about aliens all day, but you're not going to get anywhere.
Well, these are, you know, you go on the paths you go, and you realize that there is, you know, a lot of interesting stuff out there. And then, but you realize soon enough, just as you said before, you know, if you to learn who rules over you, find out who you're not allowed to criticize. There's a certain resistance, you know, that just automatically is in place as soon as you begin to even just question something or talk about it or investigate it. We're not even advocating anything. We're just looking at it. And it's absolute. They're fearful. They're horrified over the prospect of people just looking at the stuff. You know, amazing, yeah. Huh?
And it is. But I can assure you, the Kabbalah I put together, relative to English, is exceedingly shrewd. I'll put this out there on the air with confidence. It's shrewd. It is designed in a Taoist mentality. Now, what the Taoists believe is when you have a disease, diseases are energy. It's a type of resonance. And to get rid of that disease, you must create counter spells that counter the energy of the disease. So let's say arthritis, and I don't know. I know people who do know. But let's say arthritis is wood, yang, fire, yang of yin, da-da-da, you know, like this, and they create this whole energetical structure of the disease, then they'll create an herbal formula that is the exact opposite of that energetical structure. Then when they give the herbal product, that herbal concoction, that herbal remedy to the patient, within 3 to 7 days, a good healer will clear out the disease. Good one. These are natural diseases. Now, unnatural diseases like poisoning from mercury, from vaccines, those take months and months to try to redo.
Yeah.
Those are very difficult.
If not years, you know.
If not years, because those aren't natural diseases. Those are unnatural. Yeah. That's man-induced disease. So that has a different structure, and it's not so easy. But any natural disease has its own natural remedy or cure, and that could be done. Now, when it comes to Kabbalah, what everyone must understand is that much of the weapons employed to this day remain words.
Yeah, certainly.
So what we had to do is create the Kabbalistic structure to create the ability to reverse engineer the word and then create a counter spell that just neutralizes it. For instance, a Nazi. How many times have you been called a Nazi?
Right. Yeah.
But you know when they call you a Nazi is when you start to see what's going on. Think about it. Every time you start to see something, someone comes along to say, you're a Nazi.
Or to shut it down right away. Yeah.
It shuts, and then guess what? The spell works. You don't see anymore. Right? People, they stop seeing. Mm. They stop looking. So it's an effective Kabbalistic spell. The Germans never called themselves Nazis.
Right, yeah.
This is a fabricated word. It's a Kabbalistic constructed word. So what then is the countermeasure to a Nazi? No, I see very well, thank you. Because I do see. Don't tell me I not see. I do see. Okay?
Right.
And then they just go livid on you, but you can smile now because you have a counterspell. Where before you had none. Every time someone calls me a Nazi, I said, no, I see fine. What do you mean I don't see? And then they'll look confused because they don't understand you're playing with their head. Because they don't understand that there's a very high-level power that created the Nazi spell that's trying to play with your head. So why not play with their head back?
Sure, yeah.
Because it's spells. I mean, again, it's just words.
Yeah, it is. And that it really shapes, it forms the mental landscape. It creates and inhibits behavior in the real world. I mean, it's very, very powerful, you know?
Yes, or an anti-Semite. What the heck is that? Now, when you're hit with the word, you're an anti-Semite. What is that? I don't understand what you mean. Because I don't want to project the archetype that they've presented to me into the words anymore. So I will just stop and say, I don't understand what you mean. Because I'm not going to take the projections they created for me in my head and throw it into the word. And then I feel that. Because that's what they do. They will create over time the archetype. Anti-Semite means you're someone who believes in 6 million Jews were gassed. Give me a break, dude. I don't believe that at all. I think that's a big hoax. Right? So the point here is we need, again, to create these Kabbalistic spells to reverse engineer the spells that a very high-level power working through the Jewish people, in my opinion, are putting on us. In other words, this is a transdimensional war of evil versus good. It's not just Jews. Jews aren't that smart. They're kind of stupid. Think about it. I mean, they still believe in Noah. How smart is that? honestly, that's not very smart.
Yeah. Yeah, but there definitely is a difference between, dedicated religious delusion and IQ to a certain extent as well. But I get what you're saying, though. I hear you.
Smart. I know. I think you've had Kevin McDonald on recently or something to that effect. He was on my show the other day, and we talked about the higher education and how Jews have a very IQ, 145, but it's falling. Mm. But you know what? Like, if you can have 235 Chabad schools, right? 235 Chabad schools, and the only people who can go to these schools are the very wealthiest of the Jewish society. So guess what? They go to a Chabad school just like we could have gone, let's say, 20, 30, 40 years ago to a good Catholic school.
Right.
And now we don't have to do the Chabad guys and gals, the little boys and girls. They don't have to deal with some African-American in the back just disrupting and being rude all day. Because there's a big problem within the African-American community. I don't care what they tell me. There is a big problem. Yet if you're a white student and you're in this school and you're forced integration, now you're having to deal with all this cultural BS around you while the Jewish student is able to coast through the school system. So when he comes out the other end, maybe he's not so worldly in the way of the culture, the popular culture, but he comes out with this mentality. He's elite. He's better than everybody else. And because he wasn't getting disrupted the whole time, he does come out a bit smarter.
Right. Yeah.
So there's a stacked deck going on.
Yeah. And as we know as well, a lot of the IQ is hereditary as well. So even if you actually, I think there've been studies on younger children that they can actually raise their IQ in conditions where they have a good education during certain years. But then studies, I guess, seem to indicate that there's actually a fallback later on in life and you kind of retain that anyway. But certainly, of course, application of that education is very important on top of things just to to understand what's going on or get involved in pushing an agenda or what have you. But that's very interesting. It means that they are allowed to have their segregation and their elite schools, yep. Something which has been denied to Westerners, specifically the American elite universities who were built by European Americans.
Or they're forcing the integration on the kids. I mean, you have communities that are solid, and they're forcing kids from one community to be bussed into another community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with at gunpoint, as we know in the beginning, so.
Yeah, yeah. So many issues, It's a big problem out there. Obviously, there's not an easy solution. People need to become obviously more politically involved, ask questions, get involved in the local school boards, kick these guys out. Do anything you can, of course. Do like you and I, get out there, try to educate, raise awareness, because always mankind has, I think, self-defense, an immune system against a virus. And this is a virus of the spirit. You know what I mean? It's a mm-hmm. virus of our human spirit.
Yeah.
It's not just it's a virus. It's something about this is almost non-human. Because how can you do what you did how can you do what like the U.S. military does, which is run by essentially our Jewish elites now in America? How can you do that to a country? How can you do what you did in, let's say, Palestine? Mm. This is not human. Yeah. There's not something not human about this. Because how would we humans go about doing that? We wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
So yeah. There's got to be something, something transdimensional or something that's got a hold of these people and they just believe they are so far superior to the rest of us. And they're very smart. They're very well connected. They have a lot of money. But at the end of the day, we leave our fairy tales as children behind. But the Jewish people do not.
Well, this has been very interesting. Definitely some new concepts here. Why don't we pick up this another time as well and continue to talk more about this? I know that there's a lot more to it, and we can tie this into, certainly other ongoings of what we see today play out, and you know, relationships between the West and how the Middle East is being played and everything else. But yeah, definitely, Dennis, it's been great having you back. Please let us know if there's something you'd like to round up on, thoughts here at the closing. And if not, of course, give us the details as well about where people can. Have you written anything in particular on what we've been talking about here in the second hour? Is there more material for people to dig into this, or is it primarily through your radio shows you've been talking about this, Dennis?
Yes, through the radio show. Like you, I'm busy. As you know, radio shows take a lot of time to prepare.
They do.
Just radio show, and you can catch that every Saturday, 10 o'clock Eastern, USA, on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. But really, just go to InsideTheEyeLive.com. You can click on the links from there. Again, if you want to get the Kabbalistic information, this is honest. I'm not kidding you, Henrik. It is designed using Taoist metanumerics to create counter spells against the Kabbalistic spells that are aimed at all of us, literally all of us. And so that it's a very high level resource. I guarantee you, Talmudists, like within Ginsburg's office, he's the big rabbi now for the Noahidist sects. Noahide rabbis have taken my spells, my craft, inside for analysis. And they actually wrote a treatise like in 2009 about it, saying, okay, this is all false doctrine, blah, 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 blah. You know, I'm false. You know, Jews are right. I'm false. But it, at least they took it seriously.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
You know, they did. And then I do know, you know, certain people have been blackballed again from Hollywood, because Hollywood uses Kabbalism all the time.
Yeah. Sure.
Sure they do, because this is part of controlling the mind. And when they found out that people were learning and learning under my system, they've actually been kicked out of Hollywood. So I do know it has a power, just through, you know, ancillary knowledge, you know, things getting back to me. But, you know, let's do it again. You know, it's a great show. Great to be back. You know, great to be back. By the way, I have this to say about Facebook, okay? Because I only view Facebook on my mobile, okay? And I use a Samsung S4, I think. Yeah, the S4, right? I don't know if you've noticed this, but I find this kind of sinister. You know, on the when you push the return button to go back to the previous page, just above it is the touch screen check-in. So every now and then you accidentally hit the check-in button trying to go back a screen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of diabolical, because I'm not stupid. They're putting that there for a reason, so that you are updating your location every now and then. And I don't know how to turn the darn thing off on the mobile. I think I'm not paranoid, but I'm just pragmatic.
Right. Yeah.
Every now and then when I hit it, somebody in Tel Aviv is saying, oh, that son of a bitch. Yeah, I see you right now.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we linked up a story on that not too long ago. It's absolutely right that they know what they're doing there, you know. But for guys who want to check it out, InsideTheEyeLive.com, that's the website. Also, IlluminatisObserver.blogspot.com. But as I said, great having you back, Dennis. Thank you so much for doing it. And let's definitely stay in touch. And we'll have you back again, okay?
Thanks so much. Look forward to it.
All right, that's our program for today with Dennis Fetcho. Thank you for listening. My thanks to the team, and thank you for your membership. We have, of course, more coming in just a few days. In the meantime, we say stay well and stay up to date at redicecreations.com and redicemembers.com. And as a member, of course, subscribe to our RSS members feeds with your computer and or portable devices to get the updates right to you. Have a good day or evening, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.